Well, here in Matthew chapter 6, we are learning to pray from Jesus. Here in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. In verse 9, there he says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Jesus then gives us a model prayer, as we have said over the last couple times. It's a pattern for prayer. It's what we traditionally call the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord taught it to his disciples, both here in Matthew chapter 6 and also in Luke chapter 11. Last time we learned that prayer, this prayer especially, but all prayer really, is to be based on a personal relationship with God the Father. So Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." Prayer is an expression of this relationship that we have with him as the children of God. And it is Jesus, of course, who has opened the way for us to become the children of God through his death and resurrection. And by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, we are born again as the children of God, adopted into his family. We become the children of God and are able to call, just as Jesus did, "Abba, Father." So now we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, as Hebrews 10:19 says. And so the address, as we address God in prayer, "Our Father," reminds us of how intimate we can be with God. He is our Father who loves us and cares for us and forgives us and provides for us. And then when we pray "Our Father in heaven," we're remembering that he is also the transcendent God, the holy God, the one who sits on the throne of majesty, and he is God in heaven. So he is able to care for us and love us, and he hears and answers our prayers because he is God our Father, and he is able, with all of his power and might and authority, to answer our prayers because he is our Father in heaven. On the one hand, our Father is easy to approach because we are his beloved children. On the other hand, he is the King who reigns on his throne, clothed in heavenly glory. And so he is able. Now, these two attributes of God really come together in the next part of the prayer, the one that we're going to look at today, where Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. This, by the way, is the first petition. Remember when we gave an overview of the prayer a few weeks ago, we said that there are six petitions in this prayer. The first three relate to God, our concerns about God, where we say, "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done," the first three petitions. And the second three petitions have to do with our needs. So we say, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And so we have our needs coming after God's concerns, first of all. And so we have, this is the first of those six petitions. This is the first prayer request, you might say. "Hallowed be your name." This first prayer request is on God's behalf. It's a request. It's not just a declaration. Oh, we could say, like the psalmist said when we read at the beginning of our service, "He is holy. The Lord our God is holy." Holy, and that is true, and it's a declaration that we should make, and we should praise God for his holiness. But in the prayer here, this is not just a declaration of praise, it is a request to God for him to do something. that he would hallow, that he would make holy, that he would declare as holy, that people would recognize him as holy, that we might say, Lord, cause your name to be known as holy. Cause your name to be hallowed. This is the fundamental duty of prayer. MacArthur says, self is immediately removed and God is the priority. The glory of God, the hallowing of his great name is the beginning of prayer. And so the first thing we do when we come to God in prayer, we, after acknowledging our relationship with him as the Father who cares about us and has all of the resources that we need, the first thing is to confess that the priority is not us, but God. So our first request is doesn't have to do so much with us, although we're included in it, but it has to do with God and his person. And so we pray, hallowed be your name. When we pray that, we climb to a new level of respect and reverence for God and for his person, his nature, his character, his attributes. When we begin our prayers, hallowed be your name, we are not just rushing into God's presence, demanding something, bringing our needs immediately before him, but instead we are coming into his presence with reverence, recognizing who God is and honoring him. Jesus teaches us that the pattern to start our prayers is hallowed be your name. So many times I think we pray and we come to the Lord with our needs, and our needs are great, oftentimes. We're concerned about the sin in our life. We're concerned about the temptation that we face. We're concerned about the world in which we live and that God's name is not hallowed. And we're concerned about our families and our church and our nation. We're concerned about hurting people. And we have all of these needs that we have. And we oftentimes want to just rush in and just lay it all before God. And he certainly understands and he hears our prayers and he answers. But Jesus teaches us to start with God. Start with a God-centered prayer and our requests as God-centered requests. We must not wait until we have said everything that we want to say and then tack on at the end of our prayer, oh, by the way, God, you're pretty great too. You see, this is an expression of worship, of reverence, of praise. The verb there is hallowed. Hallowed comes from the word holy. It means to be holy. It means to set apart, sanctify. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we are not praying that God would be made holy, for God already is holy. That is, his very nature is holy. He is set apart from all of his creation, set apart from all evil and iniquity and sin, set apart even from anything else that is good. He is holy. Distinct, unique, in such a great way that we can't hardly even imagine how far above and exalted God is over everything else. Holy, separate, supremely holy. He absolutely belongs to a whole different sphere of life and being than anything in creation. So we are not praying that God would be made holy. He already is holy. Rather, we are praying that God would be acknowledged as holy. That he would be known as the holy God that he is. We're praying that God would be set apart in our minds and in our hearts to be worshiped, praised, honored, and adored. To hallow the name of God is to hold his matchless name, his matchless being in reverence, in utter awe. To hold him as unique, above and beyond, exalted over everything. So the object of all prayer is this request. The object of all prayer is that God would be glorified, that he would be known as the holy God that he is. You know, Jesus gives this great promise about prayer in John chapter 14, verse 13. He says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." Listen to this. That, in order that, is what it means. In order that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What is prayer all about? Prayer is all about the glory of God. That the Father would be glorified in his Son. That's why he answers our prayers. That's why he wants us to pray. The very purpose of prayer is God's glory. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. God's glory was the consistent focus of the Lord Jesus when he was here on this earth. In his high priestly prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17, Jesus declared, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world." You see, all of Jesus' life was for the glory of God the Father. And all of Jesus' life fulfilled this prayer to hallow the name of the Father. Prayer is first and foremost a recognition of God's glory. A prayer, a petition for his glory to be recognized. A submission to that glory. John MacArthur wrote, "True prayer brings the mind into the immediate contemplation of God's glory, and true prayer should hold it there until the believer's soul is properly impressed." How often do you think of God's glory, of his holiness, as you come to prayer? This is why the model prayer that Jesus teaches begins with the three petitions regarding God, not us. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And all of these requests, as it says in verse 10, are we're asking that they would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's name hallowed in heaven? We can see that in the scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has a vision of the very throne room of God. And the angelic creatures are crying out, what? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The worship in heaven never ends. It's continuous. It says in Revelation 4:8, they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And every creature in heaven joins with the angels in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, and says, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." That's the scene in heaven. God's name is hallowed. It's proclaimed and known as holy in heaven, always, continually, over and over again, and everyone participates. Unceasing worship. Well, what about the earth? That's how his name is hallowed in heaven. What about the earth? Listen to what God says through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 52. He says, "And my name is blasphemed continually every day." It's where we live, isn't it? His name is blasphemed in the sin that people are giving themselves over to. His name is blasphemed on the lips of people. His name is blasphemed because people do not believe in him. His name is blasphemed because the nations are going their own way and people have rebelled against God and turned away everyone to their own way. His name is blasphemed because his gospel is not proclaimed. The scene on earth could not be more different than the scene in heaven. In heaven, God's name is honored unceasingly. On earth, his name is despised, blasphemed all day long, the Lord says. And into that chasm, into this great gulf between the praise of heaven and the blasphemy of earth, God puts his redeemed people to pray. And so we pray the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name." It means to ask God to let his name be worshiped, exalted, honored, and adored on earth as it is in heaven. Is to ask God to move and to act in the world so that people will worship and treasure him above everything else. Well, how do we hallow God's name? Four things I just want to share with you today, how we hallow God's name. We hallow God's name by reverencing his person. By reverencing his person. Praying, "Hallowed be your name," is not just a passing phrase that we use to get on to our requests. It's not a bit of casual religious routine. It's not just words that we mouth. It is really a recognition of a whole sphere of respect and reverence and awe and appreciation that we have for God our Father, and that we desire for everyone else to have for God our Father. Your name here, hallowed be your name. Your name stands for far more than just the name of God. There are many names, of course, by which God is known in the Bible. But name is more than just God, G-O-D, or Lord, L-O-R-D. It's more than the titles that we call God. It's far more than just a word. The name of God is always an expression of his person, of his being, of his very nature, of his character. It means all that God is. To hallow God's name means more than just thinking about his name in an adoring way. To hallow his name is to go beyond the name itself to magnify the God for whom that name stands. We learn much about God from his names in the Bible. He is God the Father, as Jesus taught us to pray here. He is Adonai in the Old Testament. The word means sovereign, Lord, and Master. He is Yahweh, the covenant Lord, the one who declared himself to Moses to be, I am that I am. He is the I am. Every other God that ever has been worshipped by any people anywhere is the I am not. Only God is the I am. He is Elohim, the mighty creator God. He is El Elyon, the God most high. There are dozens of names and titles by which God is known in the Bible. Maybe the reason God is known by so many names and titles in the Scriptures is that one name and one title could never express the eternal nature and his infinite perfections. Every name reveals to us an essential aspect of who God is, of his nature and his character, and how he deals with people. In Exodus 33, Moses, who had been so close to God, who talked with God, God says, almost face to face, unlike anyone else had. Moses prayed in Exodus 33, says, Lord, show me your glory. What a great prayer. And the Lord answered. In Exodus 33:19, the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. Did you hear that? He said, show me your glory, and God said, I will proclaim my name before you. His name is glorious. His name is who he is, his very person and glory. And after Moses, God put Moses in the cleft of the rock, because God says, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord descended in a cloud, it says in Exodus 34, says he descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And look at how the Lord proclaims his name. Exodus 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed before him unproclaimed. The Lord, that's Yahweh, the name that the Lord is to be known by, his covenant name. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So the Lord came and he proclaimed his name. And what did he proclaim? His very character, who he is. When he proclaimed his name, he wasn't just stating a title. He was showing his glory by expounding on who he is as the one true God. He proclaimed his mercy, his grace, patience, goodness, truth, forgiveness, justice. This is God's glory. This is his name. This is his holiness. during the wilderness wandering. In the book of Numbers, the people of Israel came to a place called Kadesh. Kadesh, by the way, is related to the Hebrew word for holy. Hebrew word for holy, Kadosh. Kadesh is very similar to that. It's derived from holy, to be set apart. It was a place that was further away from everything else, so it was set apart. But it's more than that. At Kadesh, the people had no water. Numbers chapter 20. And the people grumbled against Moses. But the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock, and that the rock would bring forth water for the people. The Lord had done this once before when Moses struck the rock and it poured forth water. But the Lord told him this time to speak to the rock, and it will bring forth water. But Moses' spirit was angry, and he spoke rashly, and he struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came. But so did the stinging word of the Lord to Moses. He said, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Notice what God said to Moses. You did not believe me to hallow me, to sanctify me, to show me holy. Moses didn't hallow God because he didn't believe God. He didn't trust that he could just speak to the rock. He did it his own way, for his own glory, rather than for the Lord. And so how do we hallow the Lord? We hallow the Lord, we reverence the Lord by believing him, by trusting in his word. God is not hallowed when we don't have a spirit of faith and trust in his word. John said, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of his Son. You see, when we disbelieve God, we make him out to be a liar. We profane his name. Not trusting God is the exact opposite of hallowing his name. And so when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're asking that God would cause his name to be reverenced by people, by them trusting in his word, believing in his Son. That's what we're asking for. In John 17:6, when Jesus prayed, I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. What did Jesus mean, I have manifested your name? Did he mean, I told them your name? No, he meant, I revealed who you are. Jesus, the Son of God, revealed the Father to us. In fact, Jesus would go on to say in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus showed us who God is, his very nature, his true person, his holiness, his name. Name of God is supremely and fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Father's glory, incarnate, full of grace and truth. MacArthur says, name is not a title, it's a total. I like that. It's the whole being of God. We read Psalm 99 earlier, where it said, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. The Lord our God is holy. In Isaiah chapter 8, the Lord warned the prophet not to be like the people of Israel. He said, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that the people call a conspiracy, or be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. This is what he's telling to the prophet. He says, then I am the Lord of hosts. Him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. So how do you hallow God? You hallow him by not fearing what men fear, but fearing God. Very practically, it means that when God commands you to take your stand for him in this hostile world that profanes his name all the day long, that when he calls you to take that stand, you fear displeasing God more than you fear the hostility of men. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying, Father, cause people to reverence you so much that it is more dreadful to lose your approval than to lose anything that the world could offer. So we hallow God's name by reverencing his person. Second, we hallow his name by rehearsing God's good works. Several of the Psalms give us an example of this kind of praise. Psalm 66 says, sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. And then Psalm 105 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Do you get the idea? To tell of all God's wondrous works is to proclaim his name as holy, to hallow his name. Paul, in the New Testament, book of Ephesians, he hallows the name of the Father in his letter to the Ephesians. He writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed there means to praise. He said, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he just goes on to rehearse all of the ways that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He writes about how God chose us and adopted us and accepted us in the beloved, how we are redeemed through the blood of Christ, how he made known to us his will, how he gave us the inheritance as the children of God and sealed us with his Holy Spirit. All to the praise of his glory, he ends up saying. To the praise of his glory. That's what it means to hallow his name. To rehearse his good works. We hallow the name of the Lord our God with acts of public and private worship. Our hymns often help us to rehearse those saving works of the Lord. And so we hallow the Lord by remembering and rehearsing what God has done for us in Christ. Third, we hallow his name by relinquishing control over our lives. In Leviticus chapter 22, the Lord says this to the nation of Israel. He says, therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. How do we hallow the Lord? By submitting ourselves to the Word of God in obedience to His Word, in obedience to His commands. We profane the name of God when we break His commandments. And so when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying, Father, cause your commandments to be obeyed. Cause your word to be known and obeyed. In me, in my family, in your church, in this world. To obey the Lord, we must trust in the Lord and in His sovereign will for our lives. Jesus prayed this kind of prayer, submitting to the will of the Father. As He prays in John chapter 12, Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." When Jesus prayed, "Father, glorify your name," it's essentially the same as, "Hallowed be your name." Jesus illustrates perfectly what it means to pray this way. He submitted to the Father's will all the time for the Father's glory. That's why when He came to the hour of His death on the cross, even though it would require such suffering that we cannot imagine, He could pray, "Not my will, but your will be done." Should I say, "Father, save me from this hour?" No, for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Father is glorified by the obedience of His Son, even to the point of death on the cross. The Father is glorified, is honored, His name is hallowed when we obey Him as well. Number four, we hallow His name by recognizing His presence in our lives. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Prophet says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble heart." To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord dwells in a high and holy place. He's our Father in heaven. His name is holy. And yet He also proclaims that He lives with those who have a contrite and humble spirit. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Lord is not only seated on His throne. The Lord, by the presence of His Holy Spirit, dwells within us who have believed on His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord is before us. He is near us. He is in us. And so we pray, "God, it's your purpose that I want. It's your kingdom. It's your will. It's your glory." Hallowing His name means I have set the Lord always before me. As it says in Psalm 16, verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." So we pray, "Lord, before I ever talk about my bread, my sin, my needs, my life, I desire that your name be hallowed. Your glory be displayed." This is what we're praying. Will God answer a prayer like that? This prayer will be answered. You know, our Lord did not teach us to offer futile prayers. Every petition of the Lord's Prayer will be answered. It's the way the Lord taught us to pray. And when we frame our prayers around the Lord's Prayer, we can pray with confidence. Each of these six petitions will be answered either now or when the Lord returns. In fact, I think each has a answer both now and for eternity. There's a now answer and there's a then answer. When Christ returns in power and glory, God's name will be hallowed. He will be honored. He will be glorified. He will be exalted by all. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." The whole earth will be full of His glory when Christ returns. Paul declares in Philippians 2 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that will take place when Christ is on His throne. This world will be a home of righteousness. Never again will God's name be blasphemed. God's name will be honored on earth as it is in heaven. And all of God's people will worship Him and love Him and adore Him and hallow Him forever. But how can this prayer be answered now in a world that despises Him? In the world that blasphemes His name? What is God's answer to His name being blasphemed all the day long? You know, immediately after God says that in Isaiah chapter 52 verse 5, "My name is blasphemed all the day long," He then goes on to say in Isaiah 52 6, "Therefore my people shall know my name." 52:7 speaks about the beautiful feet of those who bring good news, who announce peace, proclaiming the good news of righteousness. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the way that God's name is hallowed now is that God answers that prayer through His people. "My people shall know my name," He said. God's answer to a world that despises His name is to call for Himself a people who know His name and honor His name and love His name and hallow His name. That's why He's called you to be a child of God. That's why He's called me. That's why we preach the gospel, so that people will hallow the name of God. When we pray, "Hallowed be Your name," we're asking God to raise up here on earth people who love Him, who know Him, who treasure Him. And we pray so that a world that despises Him and blasphemes God's name may honor it more and more. God wants His name to be hallowed in us, that we would be His children by faith in Jesus Christ, that we would reverence His person in Christ, that we would rehearse His mighty works in Christ, that we would relinquish control to Jesus Christ and recognize the presence of Jesus Christ with us even today. All that His name may be hallowed. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Oh God, make Your name holy on this earth as it is in heaven. May You draw people to Yourself by Your Holy Spirit. forgive their sin and give them the gift of eternal life as they believe on your Son, Jesus Christ, so that your name would be holy, that your name would be glorified. Lord, do that work in the hearts of people even now through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.